Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Well, this is the introduction in the first part of Philippians chapter 2, the introduction that St. Paul gives to today's reading. He has a special relationship with this congregation of Christians in Philippi. He talks a lot about friendship in his letter, and he's clearly really thankful for all their encouragement and all that's going well. But there's still work to be done, and he urges them to be more like-minded in their fellowship, to be loving and looking to the best interests of the other. Paul is writing from prison, but he's still interested in how they're going, how they're getting on. And his joy will be complete, he says, if they have the same mindset. If they're like-minded, they're one in love and spirit and purpose. But what does that mindset look like in practice? Here we are, he says, this is what it looks like. Be like Christ. Have the same attitude. And then he launches into one of the most well-known passages in Philippians that was read earlier by David. To illustrate his point, St. Paul starts to describe his theology of who Christ is, the one he wants them to be like. He said, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." The word translated as attitude means a bit more than outlook or mindset, the lens through which you see the world. It's about nature. It's about what characterizes someone in reality, the very essence of who they are, how they live, their full expression as a person. And of course, the person he wants them to follow in how they live, whose nature he wants them to share, is Christ himself. So what is the nature of Christ? And that's when we get to the next few verses, verses 6 to 11, which is a bit like an early hymn all about the nature of Jesus Christ. There's a flow, there's a shape about this writing. He starts, "Christ Jesus came from above. He was equal with God the Father. He was the same as God. And yet he chose to come down. He morphed, if you like, into human likeness, to serve us, to be obedient to his Father, even though it led to death. He lived out the very character of God in a lavish expression of love, in letting go of his rights as being equal to God, by becoming like us, becoming fully human, giving himself to us like a servant, pouring himself out, wanting the very best for us," which is surely a really good definition of love, wanting the really best, the most, the best for the other. This pouring himself out, this self-emptying, the word that they use in Greek that's in the Bible is kenosis. It means self-emptying, pouring yourself out for somebody else, becoming powerless and vulnerable for them. That led ultimately to suffering on the cross, as we'll remember this week on Good Friday. And yet that wasn't the end, because of course then there was the raising up again, being raised from the dead and ascending to heaven again. God exalted him to the highest place, giving him the name that is the highest name, to whom every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Paul's description of the nature of Jesus Christ is he started from above, from being equal with God the Father. He came down to earth to live amongst us. And then he returned. He was ascended. But he was also ascended because of what happened. He was resurrected. He was raised to life. And he was exalted because of what happened on the cross. And in this last section of Paul's writing, Jesus being lifted up, given a name that is higher than any other, Jesus Christ is revealed as having the name Lord. That is the equivalent of Yahweh, the name for God. Now, we might not worry too much nowadays about names and titles, but in Roman culture in the first century, Lord was a title that Caesar claimed for himself. He wanted people to think of him as a god. He wanted them to honour him, to bow the knee, to worship him. But Paul is saying, no, Jesus is much higher than that, more than any earthly king, any earthly power. Indeed, more than any heavenly power in the whole of creation. He is the one we should honour. His name is the highest name. He is the Lord. So what Paul is saying is that the quality of love shown by Jesus Christ in pouring himself out, in serving others, this is what all Christians should share. This should be our nature. But Jesus Christ was different to us, wasn't he? He was fully human, but he was also fully God. How can we be really like him? Well, the good news is, as Paul goes on to write later on in that chapter, he encourages the Christians in Philippi to keep living out their faith. He says, it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God will make us more Christ-like. Now, we need help to become more like Jesus, and we're not there yet, and the Philippians weren't there yet. But this is what we're aiming for, to be people who love others so much, but actually more than that, who love God so much, that we are prepared to put him first, to be so devoted to becoming more loving, more gracious, more self-giving, more like Jesus, that we will actually be united with each other in love and purpose of one mind, looking to the interests of others before ourselves. And that journey is costly, as the events of Palm Sunday illustrate. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem like a king with great celebration and shouts of joy and praise, people waving palm branches and putting their cloaks on the ground before them, that was their equivalent of the red carpet treatment, there were people who wanted to stop it. The Pharisees, they said, "Be quiet, tell them to be quiet." And in the end, it led to the cross. Now, we'll reflect on the events of Holy Week on Thursday and Friday this week, but today, on Palm Sunday, we stay with the events of that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem in triumph, because he was well on the way to achieving what he came to earth to do. There were lots of people travelling to Jerusalem at that time, all gathering for the Passover, and there was a big crowd of followers who'd seen Jesus' miracles, who'd heard about him. Jerusalem was the centre of power, the place where they expected the kingdom of heaven to be revealed, where they expected to meet the king, and they gathered round as Jesus made his way there, sensing that something special was about to happen. St. Luke makes a lot of connections as he describes Jesus pausing at Bethany to send disciples ahead of him to find the donkey, and the very deliberate way in which he describes the donkey being tied, the disciples untying it, the owners asking, "Why are you untying it?" saying, "It's okay." It's a very deliberate thing as he describes the scene of what's happening, people preparing the way, that donkey being ready for him to be the first to ride it. And he paused there at Bethany, the place where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That miracle that sealed his fate, as the Pharisees then determined to kill him, and Lazarus as well, because they wanted to stop him. Bethany, the place where Jesus was anointed by Mary, as we heard last week. Riding in on a young donkey may seem like a strange choice to us, but for Jewish people who knew their scriptures, riding on a donkey is a sign of coming in peace, in fulfillment of prophecy. It means here is the King of Peace. And the people got it. With their shouts of joy and waving of palms, they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The other Gospels use the word Hosanna, which means the same sort of thing. It means a shout of joy and praise addressed to the God who saves. But St. Luke emphasizes peace, one of the big themes of his gospel, with a link to the words the angels sang when Jesus was born. Do you remember they sang, peace on earth and glory in the highest? So on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem very clearly recognized as king by crowds of followers and a king of peace. But of course the Pharisees didn't like it. They wanted Jesus to silence the crowds, but the crowds were unstoppable. As Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. So this week, we are confronted with the very nature of Jesus Christ, who poured himself out in love for his people, who was obedient to the will of his Father in setting his face to travel to Jerusalem, even though it would lead to his suffering and death. We can share with the crowds these songs of joyful praise, the sense of celebration, because we know the end of the story. We know that the power of God raised Jesus from death, that he ascended to heaven, and the power at work in Jesus to do that is also the power at work in us to help us to become more and more like Jesus. But there is suffering too, and we have to be intentional about growing in love and opening ourselves up to the power of the Spirit in the struggle that we have in this world. We have to keep working at becoming more and more like Jesus. So let's keep going and let's use the vivid events of Holy Week as we remember them in the special services of Maundy Thursday evening and Good Friday during the day, and the Easter story on Saturday, to help us to prepare for the most special celebration of all, Easter Sunday. Amen.